During the season of Pentecost, if you all remember, we began this series of messages about discipleship because our focus is to dive into the Word of God to really learn what our mission statement is. As you all know, we have our new mission statement, which is right in front of your bulletin, and I invite us all to read that again to remind ourselves about our mission statement. I invite you all to join with me in reading our mission statement: to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith and action. This was a result of about 3-month process that we went through prayers, a lot of conversations and discernments. The district superintendent came here 3 times, and we dedicated this for God's glory on Pentecost Sunday. And after that, we dive in on a series of sermon about the first part of the mission statement, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We talk about what is a disciple looks like, what is disciple means for us, how do we make disciples, why make disciples of Christ. And once we have done with that part of understanding it from the biblical point of view, 2 weeks ago, I started focusing on the second part of the mission statement, which is the action component, the faith in action. So we're picking up on that from 2 weeks ago. And today, in the next few weeks, we're going to be continually building up on that theme of faith in action based from the letter of James. Today, we're going to try to deepen our understanding from the Bible about being the doer of the word. What does it practically look like to be doer of the word? How do we break free from just going through the motions of religion and start living a life that is truly on fire for Christ? In other words, what does it look like when our religion becomes real? In this message, we continue on studying on the letter of James and discover that there are three key areas of life where Jesus always brings about a profound change. So let us prepare our hearts as we hear God's word. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for intersecting our lives in this holy ground. We are grateful for this blessing of community of faith. We are grateful for this opportunity for us to hear your word. As we come together, help us to listen intently to what you're going to say to us. And may I be out of the way so that your words may be magnified and your words may be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all start many things with great passion, with great enthusiasm and joy in life. We're so excited with things are new and bursting with joy and happiness. And then over time, as we get into the routine of things, and fail to realize why we do things that we do, the energy gets this and this and this. Our passion is beginning to get lost. Our excitement is dwindling. Our joy is nowhere to be found. Sad to say that such kind of attitude can creep into our Christian life as well. I've seen many believers who lose their interest, their zeal, and their love, and their passion for God. And they are just Christians by name. They are just going through the motions of religion. Today, many churches are filled with powerless Christians who live anemic Christian lives. We sit on worship on Sunday after Sunday, but live the rest of the week trusting on our own strength as if the world depends on our own efforts rather than on God. Our words, our actions, our attitudes, our behaviors for the rest of the week seemingly do not reflect Christ's love, compassion, and grace. In his book, or in Mike Slaughter's book entitled Renegade Gospel, he says, and I quote, "We have dumbed down what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have turned church into a noun, a stationary building that we visit once a week, maybe once a month for many of us, instead of a living, functioning, vibrant, and thriving community of Christ believers. We have redefined faithfulness as simply showing up for worship, giving our portion of our donations, and then going back home to live our regular lives." End of quote. Some of us are going through the motions. But hear me out, church. Going through the motion is in no way to go through the Christian life. Because if we're just going through the motions in our faith, we're merely marking boxes on the checklist of Christian activity, and we're missing what it means to truly be the church that Christ wants for us. While we may be doing the right things on the outside, we often carry out our religious routine like robots without a heart. We are present in the body, but absent in spirit. We have a sense of duty, but not delight. Creating a walk with God that is lifeless and void of enthusiasm. Worse still, we have no interest in letting God transform us from inside out. We are perfectly contented to going through the motions. And that's not what God created us to be in the first place. That's not God designed us to be. He does not want us to go through the motions, don't we, church? Is that right? So how do we break free from just going through the motions of religion and start living a life that is on fire for Christ? In other words, what does it look like when our religion becomes authentic? It becomes real. Our scripture lesson this morning invites us to the letter of James. It's a powerful passage that speaks to the very essence of what true religion is. Here James is going to try to tell us, here are the ways for you to practice your religion in a real sense. These verses challenge believers to examine their own actions and attitudes, ensuring that they are in alignment with the teachings of Christ. So this morning, James is offering us three key areas of life where Jesus always brings about a profound change. He says here in the opening of this first part of this verse 26, the first thing you got to do so that your religion becomes real is that you got to bridle your tongues. Here's how he said it. If anyone thinks he is religion and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. What is a bridle? I think 2 weeks ago I asked this question to you all. A bridle is defined as the headgear used to control a horse. How many of probably you, some you maintain some horse, you probably know what I'm saying right here, right? It consists of a buckled straps to which a bit and reins are attached. When you have a bridle on a horse, you can control the direction of the horse despite the enormous strength of the animal, as you simply pull the reins. A horse can only go where it heads goes. Therefore, if you control the direction of the head, you can control the entire animal because of the bridle. In the sense, the bridling our tongues serves as a restraint. It serves as a check and control by choosing what we speak and what not to speak, what we're not supposed to speak. And I think we fall into this mindset that we can just speak whatever what's in our hearts. And sometimes we get into trouble by speaking first without thinking. Have we all been there, church? What James is trying to say here is that if you don't know how to bridle your tongue, then your religion or the things you believe are not going to do you much good. Because what is planted in your heart comes out of your mouth and produces the very character of your life. Think about those times when you say something that hurts others. Think about those moments when you already gossip to someone or to some mean things to others. Those are words that can it be returned back, right? You already said that. So the first way to be doers of the word, according to James here, is to make sure that what we are saying is pleasing to God. What we say matters. It can tear down and it can build up. Be doers of the word by controlling what we say and what we not say. When we use language that to those around us that are offensive, they're not bringing glory to God. When we tell crude or coarse jokes, we are not bringing glory to God. When our language tears people down, we're not bringing glory to God. And this is not just on the words that we actually speak out. It's also for the messages that we send out on social media. Because right now, we are so much into posting things on social media. We've seen this hurting so much and contributing to the very division of this nation right now. So what have you been saying or posting lately? Have you seen areas in your speech today that you need to let the Lord bridle your tongues? Maybe in the area of gossiping or unwholesome language, or maybe it's even with this sin called lying. Let God bridle our tongues so that we can replace them with the kind of speech that is kind, uplifting and life-giving and encouraging and building up instead of tearing down. Boy, we need all of this right now at all aspects in the life, whether it's in the government, it's in the business, in the secular, even in the church. When our religion becomes real, we got to bridle our tongues. But he moved on to the next part of it in here in the letter of James, when he said that it's not only that you have to bridle your tongues, but also you are encouraged to actively engage in acts of service and compassion toward others. Especially he focuses here on caring for those orphans and widows. Why widows and orphans? Why do we have to do that in order for our religion to become more real? It's because during the ancient culture, during the time of the biblical ancient times, the widows and the orphans had no direct means of support and really are not able to receive dependable legal defenders. They were vulnerable to injustice, to oppression. And we may think about that right now, communities in our nation and in our world today who are experiencing injustices and oppressions in whatever form they present themselves. And the simple truth is that God has preferred option for those who are marginalized. Jesus hang out with them. Jesus ministered with them. Disciples that followed him did the same. If you remember the history of John Wesley on how he engaged with the ministry with the poor in the 18th and 19th century England, that he kind of hang out with those who are in prisons, those who are in the hospital, those who are living by paycheck to paychecks. That's the reason why Methodism has become a place for mission in action. We have this Methodist Home for Children, Methodist University. We have ministers in all across the world as a result of how God have used Methodism to care for the orphans and for the widows. See, we cannot really be doers of the word if we are not doing the kind of care for orphans and widows. And that leads me to the third and final point. Here, James emphasized that if our religion needs to be real, we got to keep ourselves unstained by the world. Here, James is trying to say, you must live differently from the world. This entails staying true to the teachings of the scripture, living a life of integrity and righteousness, avoiding temptations and sins that may lead us astray. And we can guard ourselves against this worldly influence by consistently practicing the spiritual disciplines of life. First and foremost, reading the scriptures that will help us navigate, that will help us control and help us shape our own understanding, our own behaviors, our own patterns of attitudes, and the way we respond to the circumstances in life. The scripture can help us to keep ourselves unstained by the world. But not only that, through becoming part of a community of faith, worshiping and listening to God's word, participating in Sunday school or Bible studies, those are things that can help us ground ourselves into those Christian values that can help us in aligning this with our actions, with our thoughts, with our beliefs, with our principles. There's a saying that we are living in the world, but not of the world. Our ultimate goal is to influence the world, not the world influencing us. I said this time again, the world does not tell us what to think or how to live. Our faith does that. Our Christian faith is the one that will tell us what to think and how to live. So church, God reminds us not to go through the motions, or not checking all these boxes, but rather make our religion become real. And to do that, from the words of James, he challenges us to bridle our tongues, to care for the orphans and for the widows, and finally, to keep ourselves unstained by the world. God calls us to a faith that is very active, compassionate, and reflective of God's love, and to challenge us to align our words, our actions, with Christ's teachings. May it start today. That as we go forth from this place, people can see in us a religion that is real. A religion that is active. A religion that is transforming people's lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. In a world that is so much filled with messiness and brokenness. You are calling the people of God to practice religion that is impactful, that is authentic and genuine, a kind of religion that is active and compassionate. To do that requires us to bridle our tongues, to care for the orphans and widows, and to keep ourselves unstained by the world. May we help and may we depend on your Holy Spirit to help us, O God. Fill us with your Spirit, O Lord, so that we can align all of our words, our actions, and our deeds according to your will. And may we live out these principles, impacting our communities and deepening our relationship with you. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. In response to the words said and proclaimed, I invite us all to stand if you're able. Number 395, take time to be holy. We are truly grateful that you're able to worship with us today, both in person and also for those that are able to join with us online. Our journey will be next Sunday. I hope our kids, our young people that are here with us can join us next week for that journey at 4 o'clock. And I hope to see you all again by the grace of God as we worship again the Lord next week. Friends, God challenges today not to go through the motions in our faith and in our relationship with God. Let us get back to our first love, and that is with passion and with joy and excitement to once again rekindle our own zeal, our own excitement in our relationship with God. Let's bridle our tongues. We'll care for the orphans and the widows. Let us not be stained with this world, but rather be different. That someone can see in us the hands, the feet, the heart of Christ. May we depend fully for the Holy Spirit to make our religion real as we go out into this world. And may the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His love and the communion of the Holy Spirit lives and reign with us now and forevermore. Amen.